Excuse me. Good morning. Welcome to our worship this morning at Schweer. It is great that we can all be gathered together today. It is wonderful that this is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. A couple of announcements as we begin this morning. If you look into your bulletin, we have coming up quarterly meeting 1 week from today at 1 p.m. We are not serving lunch beforehand. So come to church, go eat, come back. Other announcements then, trunk or treat at the end of the month, October 29th. Bible trivia night, November 5th. I want to see as many teams as possible out there. I know that the college-age kids already have a team, and you guys got to prove you're still smarter than the college kids. All right, and then a couple of other announcements then. Blanket Fellowship Sewing Day, Thursday, October 12th at 1 p.m. And then Prairie View Fall Festival Part 2, November 4th from 1 to 7 p.m. in Ashcombe. Are there any other announcements that I am missing today? If not, then let's open the service in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come into your house today asking that you would be merciful and gracious to us, that you would be giving us your grace and your word, that we would rejoice in that. We thank you for your word. Amen. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 23. I will invite you to read it with me responsively as we read it now. Once the screen changes. There we go. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they accompany
me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Amen. I will invite you to stand for our opening praise song today before the throne of God above.
Thank you.
You may be seated. At this time, our order of service continues on page 2 of your hymnal. Let us now bow before the Lord and confess our sins to Him. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to You that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to Your infinite mercy and ask You, for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by Your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of You and of Your will and true obedience to Your word, to the end that by Your grace we may come to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And hear from God's word this promise. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It is because of promises like this in the word of God and from the mouth of God Himself that I declare to you today that your sins are forgiven. Amen. I will invite you to stand as you are able, as you now have the privilege to hear the word of our living God.
The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all the peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord God has spoken. It will be said that on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And the epistle lesson is from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you have had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned that the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Here's the reading.
And our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they had found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw that there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Here ends the reading of God's word. Amen. At this time now we have the opportunity with the church of all times and in all places to confess our holy Christian faith this morning using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You may be seated. At this time, as our ushers come forward to receive our offering this morning, we are going to sing together, not the song in our bulletin, rather, we're going to sing, "I Surrender All."
Thank you.
At this time, would you bow with me as we pray for the congregation and for all people according to their needs? O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise you for the opportunity we have to come before you. Thank you for your many gifts you give to us on a daily basis, and we ask that we would notice and understand those gifts are from you and from your great love that you have for us. You have called for us today, Lord, in our epistle lesson, that we are to rejoice in you, that we are to know that you are near, and that we are not to be anxious, but by everything with prayer and supplication, letting our requests be made known to you. And so, Lord, for those in our congregation who are in need, we now lift them up to you, knowing that you care for them, knowing that you have called us to pray for them. Lord, for our shut-ins, we pray for Juanita, Diane, Joanne, and Delbert. For those who are in need of healing, we pray for Gordon, Zach, Linda, Tim, Norm, DJ, Grayson, Danielle, Robert, Casey, Michael, Ty, Blake, Dwayne, Leslie, and Kylie. For the children of our congregation, we pray for Willa, Charlie, Claire, Eloise, Gwen, Rowan, Lane, Waylon, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joanna. For those on our council, we pray for Tracy, Dane, Craig, Corey, and Stuart. Lord, you have given our government authority that they might rule in justice and knowledge. And we ask for our nation and government and the world leaders and all those who are in authority that you would be giving them wisdom that they might know how to lead, that you would be giving them morals that they might lead with honor and with care, and that you would be giving them faith that they might turn to you in times of trouble and in times of joy. Lord, for those who are in the military and their families, we ask that you would be allowing them to have continued safety and health, and that in those times where anxiety seems to run rampant, when life is unknown, we ask that you would be giving them peace and understanding and grace. Lord, as well, we think now of the farmers as we are in the smack dab middle of harvest right now. We ask that you would be continuing to bless their harvest, that you would continue giving them good weather for harvest, that they would be able to have the moisture that they need as well as the dryness that they need, that everything would be perfect and that their harvest would be bountiful. Lord, we thank you for your word and that we have an opportunity to come together today. Bless the rest of our service today, and may your word be glorified above all. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, then, we will sing another praise song. Before the sermon, we will sing Raise a Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Good morning again. Our epistle lesson happens to be our sermon lesson today. And so as I read once more Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13, I will invite you, as you are able, to stand once more out of respect for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have heard and learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, these are your words, and your word is truth. Sanctify us today in that truth and convict us of sin in our lives where that is necessary. Comfort us with the promises and assurances of your gospel. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. The short letter that Paul wrote to those who were in Philippi was at a time of trouble for Paul. You see, there are certain letters that Paul wrote known as his prison epistles, his captivity epistles. And this, some speculate, was the last one he wrote. Because this, many speculate, is the last letter Paul wrote before he was executed for professing the gospel. And so as Paul writes this, you would think he would be writing about things such as fear. You would think at the very end of this possible last letter that he wrote, you would think he would be writing saying, guys, I'm actually scared. This is terrifying. I know what's coming next and I'm not happy about it. But instead, Paul gives them constant benedictions. Verse 7, he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 9 says, the peace of God will be with you. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Rather than these elements of fear, rather than these elements of admitting that he knows exactly what's coming for him and that it terrifies him, because you know that he probably still had a little bit of fear about it, yet Paul here is giving words of hope and encouragement to those who were in Philippi. And he gives them constant reasons for this hope and this encouragement. He begins our passage saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, or some translations say your gentleness, be known to everyone. because the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As I was dividing up this passage in my head, and as I was trying to figure out how best to preach it, I figured it would be best for us to focus on those benedictions, those promises, and what precedes them, what leads up to them. So looking at this first promise of verse 7, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why does Paul say this? Well, the answer is given to us in verse 5. The Lord is at hand. Why is it that Paul was able to tell those in Philippi to rejoice always? Why is it that Paul was able to tell those in Philippi not to be anxious, not to let their fears and doubts control them? Because the Lord is at hand. Because for those who suffer from doubts, from fear, for those who don't know what's coming next, for those whom anxiety runs rampant and consumes their life, he tells them the simple truth that the Lord is at hand. Now, for those who don't speak first century Greek, it could also be translated, the Lord is with you. The Lord is here. You see, the thing that so many Christians tend to forget, the thing that so many of us tend to just brush over, is the constant presence of God with us. Is that God himself has promised that he would send his Spirit to constantly guide us into truth, to encourage us, and to forgive us of our sins. But not only that, when speaking of our worship service, God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, gathered together to worship him, there also will I be among them. Dear Christian, as you sit in the congregation today, as you sit here and sing to God, as you sit here and receive his gifts, know for a fact that the Lord is at hand. The Lord is with you. The Lord is here. The Lord is working for you on your behalf. Why does Paul promise the peace of God? Is because God's presence overwhelms our doubts and our fears. Now, that's not saying you're not going to have doubts and fears. You most certainly will. But God promises you that in the midst of those doubt and fears, excuse me, in the midst of those doubts and those fears, in the midst of that pain and suffering that you will go through, or that maybe right now you are going through, the Lord promises you that he is with you and caring for you. That when you feel like absolute garbage because you're letting the situations in your life affect your faith in God, which I'm sure everyone here admits happens more often than you like to admit, that instead of saying, you screwed up, you're out, He instead comes near to you and says, your sins are forgiven. You have been restored. Your life has been won by Jesus Christ. Not based off of your own actions, thoughts, or merits. Not based off of what you have said, what you have done. Not based off of how awesomely you're able to handle anxiety and stress. But based off of the work that He has done for you. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That as you go through these elements in your life, as you continue in God's Word, studying, hearing, proclaiming, that He will continue to strengthen your heart and your mind so that maybe once in a while you are able to face a hard situation and come out the other side saying, praise God. Our next section then, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So now Paul speaks to you as a Christian who knows that God is with you, as a Christian who knows that your sins have been forgiven. As someone who has just heard his pastor say that phrase about 6 times in the last 5 minutes, that your sins are forgiven. Now he speaks to you about your Christian life. Because what are you surrounded by on a daily basis? In media, on the internet, and with the people who surround you. Trash and garbage, mainly. Unlawful living, sexuality, overstimulation, the glorification of sin and man. And so to you, Christian, Paul says that when you stop and think not on these things that are horrible and painful. Think and ponder might be a better way to put this word, think. Ponder these things. So rather than pondering the things of evil and of pain, rather than pondering all of the wicked things that have happened to you or from you or around you. Instead, Paul is saying, ponder those things that are honorable, those things that are just, those things that are pure, lovely, and commendable, those things that are excellent, that are worthy of praise. Let us ponder these things together. Or if you want to sum it up even quicker than that, ponder the things of God. Ponder the gifts that God has given you and praise Him for them. In the midst of suffering and trial, cry out to God to forgive you and to redeem you. And then ponder His Word when it says He will and He does. Ponder those things that God has put around you that glorify His name. Farmers, as you're sitting in the field and your tractor breaks down for the 4th time that day, ponder the goodness of God that you still have a field in front of you. Children, when your parents tell you no for the 14th time that day, or parents, when your children tell you no for the 14th time that day, still ponder the good gift that God has given you in those family relations. Dear friends, when you stop to think, and when you stop to think on those things that God has given to you, you would be really surprised to see how many things you can be grateful for that God has given to you. And these are the things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. Because these things draw you not to yourself, not to the things of this world, but to God. And if you're having trouble getting started, let me give you the easiest one. The cross of Jesus Christ. Think on that thing. On that God sent His only Son to die for you and forgive you all of your sin. Think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So finally then, our last section, verses 10 through 13. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in every and any circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. How many of you at some point in your life have memorized Philippians 4:13 all on its own? Anyone who was ever in a Sunday school class in the 80s probably knows this. Because popular evangelical Christianity likes to take this single verse and rip it away from the context that Paul has it. And instead of suffering being our context, it's doing whatever we want to do. That, I want to do something that I've never done before. Well, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I think of a movie. A movie called Madeline that my kids absolutely loved to watch. And when the main character, this little 8-year-old girl, gets sent to the hospital because her appendix is bursting, she was repeating over and over again, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. No, you can't, but the doctors can certainly help you out here. Right? When we take this verse out of its context, we inflate our own ego and our own power and our own strength. So instead, we look at what Paul is actually speaking of when he speaks of this verse. And what he's speaking of is persecution and suffering. Remember, Paul here is on his way to the executioner's block. Paul here is on his way to die. The Philippians know this. And Paul begins by thanking them. praising God that they have concern for him. Not that Paul says he is in need, but they're not stupid. They know what's happening. No, instead Paul says, I am content. I have learned over the years in that whatever situation I am in, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and how to abound. I know how to face plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I know how to die and how to suffer for the sake of my God. A better way for verse 13 within its context to be translated is as follows. I can endure all things through him who strengthens me. Now that gives you a little more clear picture here. Dear Christian, when you face times of suffering, of pain, when you face times where you are persecuted for those things that you believe and confess, when you face those times when everything is against you and the whole world is caving in on you, know that you can endure these things, not by your own strength, because by your own strength you're going to curl up in a ball and cry. No, instead you can endure all things because of God who strengthens you, who strengthens your faith in knowing that he is present with you, that the Lord is at hand. That he strengthens you by leading your mind to think on those things that are pure and just and honorable and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. That the Lord will strengthen your faith, that you will know how to endure and be content in times of need and want, just as you are content in times of abundance and prosperity. And that as you are eventually going to die, that he strengthens your faith, that you may be able to know that death is not the end. That death is not the final chapter for you. But rather that he will raise you again to eternal life with him. This is the goodness that God has for you. These are all things that you may do, that you may endure through him who strengthens you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. I will invite you at this time to stand as we sing, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. At this time, would you pray with me the prayer that our Lord has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.